The finest revelation of God's word is not in a deep teaching, but a changed life. Join Pastor Temiloluwa Ola as he takes you on a journey, unveiling God's word with practical life lessons.
Anyway, we were okay. We are still good. God is good. So we'll run this morning. And we are trusting the Lord to do a quick work in our midst and perfect that which He has for us today in the name of Jesus. So December is our month of living with eternity in view. Living with eternity in view. Of course, by the time I was studying and looking through, I felt like, okay, this is just like the continuation of our last month's discussion, where we're just learning about the assignments, ways we can treat the assignments, how best we can respond to the assignments, you know, how to recognize the assignments, what to do to the assignment and all of that. And I believe that as we look through the word today, the light of God will come to us. And we'll have understanding in Jesus' name. So December is our month of living with eternity in view. Living with eternity in view. Of course, we know we're on this earth. We're in this world, but we are not of this world. And so we must constantly bear that in mind and live our lives based on that fact. That we are here but for a while and that we are here for a purpose. And that purpose must be fulfilled. Our utmost prayer is that no one in this house will go back with the Father empty-handed. None of us will go back to the Father empty-handed. But we'll go back to our Father bearing souls. You know, telling the Father, come and see what I've done the work. I've done what you sent me to do. Come and see the souls that I brought to you. And that is what will be our portion in Jesus' name. I'm going to permit the scriptures to speak to us this morning a lot. We're going to be doing a lot of scriptures. And I trust the Lord to just interpret the word. Let's do Colossians verse 1 to 7. Colossians 3, 1 to 7. Please make it bold for me. Can you make it bolder? I don't mind. Okay. If you can't, don't worry. Just be fine. I'll push. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Well, what were we told to seek? Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Okay, it says, set your mind on things above. It's coming again. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Thank you. Verse 3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Of course, when he says you died, you know that it's the natural man dying, right? Not a hair. It's putting off the old man and putting on the new man. That's what he meant by you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. All right? 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7. In which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Let's do the book of Luke chapter 12 verse 13. We're having so much of a long read, so please permit me. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. 12. 1 and 2. 12. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, let's see where it's coming from. One's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. So he started by telling a parable here. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?'" 21. "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Is not rich towards God. So when we say living with an eternity in view, I started by saying that we know that we're in this world, but we are not of this world. Last month, we dealt with the fact that we are here for an assignment. We dealt with the fact that the ministry gifts were given so that we can be equipped for the assignment for which we were called. So there's the possibility to get to this world and get lost in everything that is available within it. And forgetting that we have an assignment. That will not be of you. That is not your portion. But you will constantly be reminded of your assignment. Not even when you are in this house. You will constantly be reminded of your assignment. You are a man of purpose. You are a man released to the earth for a purpose. You are a woman called. He spoke to Jeremiah, he said, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, before that spermatozoa met the egg, before he met the egg, I had a plan. We've done so much this year. There was a season we learned about the fact that our God is structured." So you can see that even through our creation, God is so structured. So God is not a God of an afterthought. No, I can see that Opa is already coming to this world. Maybe she should be a prophet. No. Before she informed you at all, before he formed you, he knew that there was an assignment that you're supposed to fulfill on this earth. But you see, the way the world system is, it's easy to get in here and forget who we are. It's easy to get on the earth and forget that we have an assignment. But this, I believe this word is coming this time, and it's coming layer upon layer, precept upon precept, just to tell us that we can't do less than God has ordained us. If he has called you to live bearing eternity in mind, then he has deposited the capacity, everything that you will need. He has deposited everything you will need to be able to live that assignment out. If he created us to come and establish the kingdom of God on earth, then he has put into us everything that we'll be needing to establish that, to implement it. But it is left to us whether we will allow the worldly things to carry us away, or we will put our focus on God and do His bidding. Let's take 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. We'll take 19 and then we'll take 32. 1 Corinthians 15, 19 and 32. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Let's see it in NLT. NLT, please. It's okay. We can do NIV too. Okay. He said, and if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. I think Passion Translation puts it in a funny way, but let's go on. 32. Says, and what value was there in fighting? What, this is Paul speaking. Of course, you know he had to conquer a lot of things, you know, of fighting wild beasts, those people of Ephesus, if there will be no resurrection from the dead. And if there is no resurrection, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. So Paul is saying, why do I have to wrestle with men? Why do I have to say those tough words to them so that they can come to Christ if everything is just about this life? Why can't I just relax, eat, drink, have good clothes, drive good cars, build lovely houses, and then forget it? What he's saying is that I'm doing all of the things that I'm doing because I'm so certain that someday I'm going to give a response. I'm doing all of the things I'm doing because I have eternity in view. I know that there is something called eternity, and that someday I'm going to be there to give account of what I've done on this earth. Says that's why I have to wrestle with wild beasts. Of course, you know it's just been funny here. But like I was saying this morning, there are moments you have to deal with people and they seem like wild beasts. Sorry, I've started moving around again. There are moments you relate to people and they seem, and that's what he was saying. But he's saying, I did all of that because I know there's an eternity. There's an end in view. There's the day the Lord is going to ask me questions. There's the day I'm going to be giving accounts for what I did on the surface of this earth. So he's saying, if not, why didn't I just, you know, think of just eating? Just, it's easy. It's easier. If you're a man on assignment, you know how tough it is when God wakes you up by 3 a.m. fighting wild beasts. And says, you know those days when he will tell you we are fasting together for the next 40 days. And you are feeling like, God, you are God now. You can't say we are fasting together. But what he's saying to you is, I'm going to hold your hand through it. Fighting wild beasts. Is it not easier to sit and gist? But the Lord is telling you, with the assignment I'm placing on you, with this eternity that you, with this portion that I've given to you, you are not permitted to be gisting anyhow. In the midst of gist, he wakes you, almost stand up. It's time to study. It's time for your discipline, the discipline of your study. He calls you to your discipline so you can be a better person. It's easier. It's far easier. Let's take the last read before we dive in now. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. It says, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, let's do NKJV. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. Arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh. This is a higher calling, right? For the lust of men, but for the will of God. To have eternity in view is to live all our lives for the will of the Father. To place eternity in view, to live with an eternity in view, is to every day of your life permit your dream to be the dream of the Father, to be the will of the Father, I mean. Permit yourself to be released for the use of the Father. That is what it means to place eternity in view. People ask Pastor Temi, how do you get to pick lesson from everything that happens to you and you write on it? My simple answer, eternity in view. Eternity in view, you can pick lesson from the simplest of things. You can pick eternal lessons. Let me put it that way. Not just ordinary lessons. From the simplest of things. Eternity in view. Eternity in view. Let's go. We're reading to verse 6, right? For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. You know, when he mentions all of this, for some people, it's ringing in their heart, but I didn't do all of that. I didn't. You might not have done all of that, but did you have a focus for the Lord? Was your focus truly on God? Have you, from childbirth, your focus had always been God? All right, let's go. In regard to this, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. White beast, right? They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Hallelujah. So why are we taking this study? Why are we taking eternity? Why are we, you know, going the route of living with eternity in view? One, to help us set our mind on eternal things. To help us set our mind on eternal things. Colossians 3 and verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Every minute we have to do this, you know that there's the likelihood to shift our attention. If there's the possibility of us already straying, of us already going another way. Let me put it that way. There's the possibility of bringing our mind back to what is obtainable in Christ, to what we were made to do, to what the Father has called us to do. So we are taking that so that we can be helped to set our mind on eternal things. And number two, to make us a 6 o'clock believer. Isn't that funny? To make us a 6 o'clock believer. So you know there are different types of believer. There's the 12 o'clock believer. That one is, this world is not my home. I am just passing by. So, you know, the total focus is on God. The total focus is on God, God, God. And, you know, it's just on heaven. Let me put it that way, not on God. The total focus is just on heaven. They are not bothered about making impacts here on it. So their total focus is just above. There's the 6:30 believer. And that one is just the fact that I've given my life to Christ, right? Let's just enjoy, make merry, do whatever we like on this earth. And so their focus is about amassing wealth, building houses. I'm not saying it's not good to build also. It's good, but there must be balance. We must always be reminded of why we are here, who we are, what we are to do. So even when you're building a beautiful house, there's a purpose attached to it. Even when you're buying a car, there's a purpose attached to it. It could be a small car at a point. There's a purpose of family attached to it, to be able to give comfort to my children and, you know, to be able to, you know, I don't know how to put it, but I get you. I believe you understand. I'm giving comfort to my children so that they don't start questioning some things about God. So a dear father in the faith said it once. He said, no matter what you want to do, you must be able to attach eternal purpose to it. You want to sleep, you must be able to attach eternal purpose to it. You want to rest. I'm resting so I can be nourished for my assignments. It's not just the fact that you love sleeping. Me, I like sleeping. I like sleeping. Hello. That's not enough. So you must be able to, if you live with eternity in view, you must be able to attach eternal relevance to everything that matters to you. I want to study a particular course because there's an eternal purpose to it. And for some of us, we might have even studied a course that we didn't know the eternal relevance to it, but you can still find it now. Now, you were not in Christ when you studied it. Now that you are in Christ, you can find it out. There must be. There must be. So you see, they are different, but you see, the 6 o'clock believer has a strong hand on God, and then the small hand is on the earth. So it means that the 6 o'clock believer draws strength from God, draws inspiration from God, draws wisdom from God, draws templates from God, and impacts his or her word with that. I hope we're getting it. So you see, Luke chapter 11 verse 2 says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the 6 o'clock believer. Drawing the will of the Father from heaven and establishing it on the surface of the earth. Number 3, to help deal with fleshly tendencies. Fleshly tendencies that hinders the flow of proper Christian living. To help deal with fleshly tendencies that hinders the flow of proper Christian living. We were mentioning it the other time. We mentioned different things. Idolatry, lewdness, fornication, whatever it is. We were mentioning it. And you see that they have the tendency. There are believers that still struggle with those things. But with understanding of eternity, you will see that you can live above those things. We can live above them. We can live above them. The Spirit of God is perfect. There's a portion that is available for us to live above all those things. Fleshly tendencies. We can live above them. So to help deal with fleshly tendencies that hinder the flow of proper Christian living. Colossians 3, 5 to 7. Colossians 3, 5 to 7. Number 4, to show us how God works so we can align our hearts. To show us how God works. So we can align our hearts. At the book of Acts chapter 15 and verse 18. So like I said earlier, that scripture says known to God from eternity are all his work. Like I said earlier, to show us how God works. And I told us earlier, I said from beginning of the time, God already prepared each and every one of us. There's a predestination for each and every one of us. For each and every one of us. So God works in such way that he has planned. There's a plan for each and every one of us. There's a work to do on earth. There's a work to do on earth. So if we don't have that understanding that there's a work for me, there's a portion to which the Lord has given me, then you can't live with eternity in view. When you understand that I'm going to give account of what the Lord has sent me, it's more like your daddy saying, have this 1 million. Go and do this. Go and do that with it. And you come back. So and you know you'll come back someday to say, this one, I spent it this way. This talent, you know the parable of the talent. And you know those guys, how they were given at different times. And how the master came back later to come and ask them. It's the same way. That was Jesus giving us an example, a parable, like he called it, of what will be on the last day. So if I understand that my father has sent me on assignment, then I will live with that assignment in mind. So living with eternity in view is simply carrying the assignment of the Father on our hearts in our day-to-day work. Carry the assignments of the Father upon our hearts. In our speech, am I speaking as the one sent by God? Am I speaking as the one chosen? Am I behaving in our relationship with friends? Am I behaving as one sent by God? I remember for a very long time, I was not always sensitive to my friends. Why? Because, of course, there is growth. There are levels in Christ, right? So at that stage of my life, of which took longer than it ought to be, I remember that I would just visit my friends. No word, nothing. You know, we'll just gist and we'll just leave. And I'll get back home, I'll start feeling there's something awkward. There's something I didn't do well. There's something I didn't get. And for a very long time, it was like that. Until finally, there was that awakening in my spirit. And it is even from that gist that you pick something to say. The last time I visited a friend, and she was talking about what she had been through in the hand of medical, whatever, and how she doesn't even have hope again. If it was before, I would have just been saying, sorry, it's going to work. But in the middle of it, I could come in and say, no, that's not what was spoken about you by God. Why? Because now there's a higher level of understanding of living eternity. Am I right? Of carrying eternity, of living with an eternity in view. My relationships, I get there, I'm with that conviction that, Lord, there's something for this person. I don't have to force it. There was a season I used to force it. I could okay, flow. It will not flow. But one thing I've discovered is that when you have a solid relationship with God, most of these things that the Gentiles run after, they are easily added onto you. And that's why we can't remain as babes in Christ. Bele, bele, bele. Till when? Grow up! Because there is an assignment. It is only a grown-up Christian that can be able to carry the Father's assignment all over wherever they go. Only a grown-up Christian. A baby Christian will think about what is wrong with them 1,001 times before they think about the will of the Father. Let's grow up. Let's grow up. I stopped at number 4, right? Number 5, to show us that there's a longing that only God's eternal purpose can meet. There is a longing that only God's eternal purpose can meet. There's that space in your heart. There's that space in you that it is God who created it there himself. There's nothing you can put there. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you are the cup that I won't run. Only Jesus can fill it. He said to that woman at the well, said, I will give you a living water. I'm going to give you the living one that will never run dry. You have done it yourself over and over again. This is the seventh man you are with. You have tried it your own way. It didn't work, but here I am. There's just that space in man that nothing can fill. Hearing the story of a man who, you know, doing great things for the Lord, and at a point he tried committing suicide. Kilo Shele, you have a ministry in your hand flourishing. And at the point he tried committing suicide, at another time, he ran away. He abandoned the ministry and ran away. And you know, at the end of the day, hearing stories and all he has to say is that of all the things he's been doing, he doesn't feel like he has it all. That man does not have Jesus. And that's why I say it every time. You can be doing a ministry that is not ordained by the Lord. And that's why if we grow, you'll be able to receive that which is yours. You'll be able to receive that which is yours. There's a space in man's heart that only Jesus can fill. If not, you will run from pillar to post. You will run kaba kaba. And yet, it will not be filled. And that will not be you. In the name of Jesus. You see the politician, their money is never enough. Even when they are packing and is inside septic tank, moth is already feasting on it. Termites feeding on it is still not enough. They are forgetting that one. Because there's a space in their heart that only Jesus can fill. Let's check Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. Ecclesiastes 10:10. Says, I have seen the God-given task which the sons of men are to be occupied. You see that? I have seen. Let's not rush. I have seen the God-given task. So there's a God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. There's a God-given task with which we are to be occupied. Okay, 11. Said he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their heart. Where is eternity? He has put eternity in their heart, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to the end. But not of you. You've been permitted to know. You have that permission to know. But what are we saying? There's eternity in our heart. There's that side of us that longs for only God. That only God can fill. That if God does not fill, nothing else can fill. Nothing else can fill it. Nothing else can fill it. Number 6, to show you how to live a worry-free life. To show you how to live a worry-free life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Matthew 6, of course, is a scripture we know. Do not worry what you will eat, what you will wear, or what you will put on. Because your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And that you should seek first the kingdom of God and all that is, and his righteousness and every other thing will be added. every other thing that the Gentiles seek will be added unto you. So, how do we live a worry-free life? Simply by seeking the kingdom of God. Simply by seeking the kingdom of God. Simply by seeking the kingdom of God. So what is eternity? If I don't finish, Pastor will continue. But I'm just sure that God will do his perfect work in our midst in Jesus' name. What is eternity? What is eternity? It is a state to which time cannot be applied. It is a state to which time cannot be applied. It means endlessness. It is interminable. You can't terminate it. It is interminable. It has no end. It has no end. Number two. What is eternity? Eternity is a divinely implanted sense. Eternity is a divinely implanted sense. So I want you to go with those words. I want you to put those words to heart. More like a scientific word, but of course, divinely. You know it's done divinely. Implanted sense of a purpose. Sense of a purpose. That man has this sense of a purpose. I'm created for something. I'm created for something. Eternity is a divinely implanted sense of a purpose. Walking through ages. Walking through ages. Walking through ages. Which nothing under the sun. Which nothing, not plenty of money, not different houses, not houses on Banana Island, not houses everywhere in Dubai, in whatever, not businesses, not large businesses, not fame. Not fame, which nothing under the sun, but God can satisfy. Which nothing under the sun but God can satisfy. Have you heard of billionaires committing suicide before? What happened? What happened? Nothing could satisfy. Their billions could not satisfy it. Could not satisfy it. The balance is Jesus. I hope you understand that I'm not saying that we should not be blessed. You should be blessed. You should have in abundance. That's the will of God for us. But all I'm saying in essence is that there must be a strong balance. We must be blessed. But our blessing must be to bless, to increase the kingdom of God. You have, of all men, miserable if all you have is just wealth, words, and nothing about souls that you have impacted, and nothing about men that you have blessed, nothing about nations that you have raised for the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 in the Amplified Classic. You'll see practically this definition, this second definition that I gave just now. So let's go. How do we live practically with eternity in view? How can I live practically with eternity in view? How can I live practically with eternity in view? Number one, be born again. Number one, be born again. Be born again. We all know that story where Nicodemus went to Jesus and he was asking about being born again. Do I have to go back into my mother's womb and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he had Jesus told him, he said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To see the kingdom of God literally is to understand what is obtainable in heaven, is to understand what the Father desires us to do. Before you were born again, even though you were in church, the whole story, the whole teachings of purpose, of assignment didn't make sense to you. It didn't make sense to you. But by the time you said to yourself, now I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. This is what I want Him to do for me. I will obey Him. I will walk with Him. He will be the one leading me. You began to understand what the kingdom of God truly means. So without being born again, we can't see, we can't understand, we can't know how the kingdom of God operates. So the first thing living with eternity in view practically is being born again. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Number 2, seek what is above. Seek what is above. Seek what is above. We've read a lot of scriptures about seeking what is above. Colossians 3 says it, he said it like 4 times. Seek what is above. Seek what is above. Like a young man who has just found a young lady that he wants to spend the rest of his life with. He will make investment. I remember when my husband was, when we were still courting, how my husband won't mind jumping on public transport and coming to check on me all the way from Erua to Lagos. It is the same way we call to seek what is above. Seek what is above by asking teachers. Seek what is above by intentionally studying God's word. God's word is major if you will live with eternity in view. Every time you open the scripture, you see a picture of eternity or the other. It reminds you of who you are. Intentionally seek what is above. Seeking, search. Ultimate search. Do ultimate search on what is above. Seek the mind of the Father. Seek the mind of the Father in prayer. Seek the mind of the Father in worship. Seek the mind of the Father by His word, primarily. It is through the scripture that you discover that you were made for a thing. You were made for an assignment. It is by teachings that you begin to learn how to walk in your assignment. It is by joining yourself to God's brethren that you begin to see the expressions of the Spirit. And you begin to learn. You begin to be imparted. Seek that which is above. Like the 6 o'clock believer. Have your hand, a stronger hand on what is above than what is on this earth. Let's give ourselves to it. Let's not just say it with mouth. I love the Lord, I love the Lord. But do we seek the Lord? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. From the bottom of my heart. But truly, do we love Him? If we love Him, it will show in how much we seek Him. If we love Him, it will show if we prioritize Him, whatever we prioritize. Do we prioritize the Lord? Do we prioritize the things that we've been shown to be things that lead us to having eternity in view? Do we seek the Lord? Search Him. Search for things that are above. What does the scripture say about this? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Number 3, make eternal investments. Make eternal investments. Luke 12 and 34 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Eternal investment. Forex. Is Forex tyranny? Is tyranny? Me, daddy. Me, Rita. Forex. You know how people seek that thing with their whole heart? You know how they I don't know how that thing has messed some people up. Cause when they're done with their own money, they will go and collect their friends' money. Amen. And that's how you know whether we have eternity in view or not. If we can give all our energy, all our money to making much on this earth, and when it now come to the things of God, our energy is, you will do it today, tomorrow you will relax. Do it in 2 days, in 3 days, you relax again. When you measure that, you know there's something wrong. Make eternal investment. Eternal investment can be you deciding to put the flesh under. Not because I had a voice saying you are going to fast for the next 21 days, but because I want to be more sensitive. I'm going to put myself in a fast. And I'm not just going to do fast and gist away. But this season, I'm going to make sure that I have at least 3 hours to myself where it is just me and God. And I'm making eternal investments in the study of God's word, in praying, in just making melody to God. Make eternal investments. It should be the normal life of a believer. It should be our normal focus. Making eternal investment, which it must be a priority. It's the fact that, that party, I'm going to see like 15 of my friends. You know, those people, we were in school together. And we lived, you know, when we see ourselves, we can, oh. But at this season, I just sense the Lord is saying, Omo, I need a time with you. And for that, because I understand it is eternal investment, I'm willing to be with the Father rather than going to my friend and, you know, go and do the jamboree. Eternal investment. The other day I was teaching, I was saying that it's our money that can be very difficult to give, right? Eternal investment will make you, not because you had a voice. I'm intentionally saying, because most times believers want to wait for the voice of the Lord to say, oh yeah, do this. It's good. It's awesome. But we, without voice of the Lord, must learn to train our spirit man to say, this one, you will get used to it. So it can take me saying, I'm going to take about 70%. Father, you asked for 10% and just offering. But this one, so that I can be dead to that money. This one, I'm going to release 70% to you for the next 3 months. You know what that does to you? It trains your faith. It trains your faith. It trains your faith. It prepares you for the days ahead. Where some things will come, and because you have made eternal investment before, you can say, this one, Because you personally decided, not because you heard the voice. And of course, if you hear the voice, you go ahead and do it too. Make eternal investment. Make eternal investment. Moments where situations around you, they are not looking so palatable. And the Lord is saying, that thing in your pocket, bring it out. Oh, yeah, give it to your neighbor. But you know it's not because he wants to punish you. It's because he wants to train you for the journey ahead of you. He wants to train you that indeed, nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, you are the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. Number four, learn to starve the flesh. I think I've done justice to that earlier. Don't keep sowing to the flesh. Learn to starve the flesh. I've done justice to that. When I mentioned fasting, when I mentioned, you know, your body wants to wear some clothes, you know, you just saw it. You're not even the fact that you need it. You know that there are moments like that. I don't need a thing, but my flesh is asking for it. How many of us does he happen to? Say the truth, though, and put the devil to shame. I know I don't need this thing, but my flesh is asking for it. It's the normal work of the flesh. It happens to every one of us. I don't need this thing. That's what leads some people to, when we were young anyway, that was what led us to putting our hands into our mother's pot to steal meat. We didn't need it, but the flesh just wanted it. And it still happens in adulthood. When you know you don't need a thing, but your flesh wants it. But it takes your sensitivity to be able to recognize that this thing, I actually don't need it. But you must learn to, if you will live practically with eternity in view, you must learn to starve the flesh. Ah, you want it, oh, they get it. You are teaching it delayed gratification, not now. You can get it later, but not now. Not now, not now, not now. And the resources that I would rather use for that, I will use it for a kingdom thing. I will use it to bless somebody who doesn't have. I will give it to missionary. Oh yeah, get on the move. And the scripture for that, Galatians 6 and verse 8. Let's read it. Galatians 6 and 8, as we close. Says, for he who sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. That's not you. In Jesus' name. For he who sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. It means that someday the whole work will be tested. Will be burnt by fire. Will he remain? Will it be totally consumed? Because it is corrupted. Or would we have sown to the Spirit and then reap everlasting life? And finally, put off fleshly tendencies. Put off fleshly tendencies. Colossians 3 and verse 5. In the NLT. Colossians 3 and verse 5.
Colossians 3:5. It's not coming up. Okay, so it says, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with them. With sexual immorality, impurity, lusts, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. You see, greed is sowing to the flesh. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Let's start from the beginning again. So put to death. Who will do the putting to death? Who will do the putting to death? Because at times we want to wait for the spirit to just come. But it is you who will put it to death. Put to death the sinful earthly things. Recognize them. Starve them to death. Put to death sinful earthly things lurking within you. It is the natural human tendencies. Don't be so surprised that there are still a lot of carnal believers. Carnal. Why? Because they've not learned to put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within them. It is you that will put it to death. It is you that recognizes that I'm battling greed. Put it to death. It is you that recognizes I'm battling lust. Put it to death. Put it to death by saying, no, not me. There's much more. There's an assignment ahead. Why? Because you are certain that if you permit this, it will rob you of what you have to offer. Of the blessings you ought to be. Put off, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing. Have nothing to do with them. Put to death by shouting. Egba me, oh, this thing wants to kill me. There's so much ahead. There's purpose to fulfill. My father is expecting something someday. The Lord has sent me on assignment. If this thing does not die, it will steal my journey from me. It will steal what the Father has given me from me. Put it to death. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, with impurity. Have nothing. Have nothing. That means to bang baba, you pass here. Have nothing. Have nothing to do with it. Lost. Have nothing to do with it. Evil desires. Moments where it just pops up like evil desires. Starve it to death. Don't be greedy. You know this one is very subtle for us as believers. Let's tell ourselves the truth. Oh, greed. Greed is very subtle. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this one. That will not be you. So you must learn to put it to death. And I think I'll be closing on that note. If you don't put it to death, you can't put eternity before you. Why? Because those things start subtly. Until you now see that you are so deep in them. Today, I like your bag. Tomorrow, come and give me now. Next tomorrow, you have become a professional beggar. Seen everything everyone is holding and say, come and give me. No. No. There's an assignment ahead. There's an assignment committed to your hands. And you must learn to put those things to dirt. I pray that there will be an awakening within us. There will be an awakening within us. And there will be the Spirit of God reminding us how important it is. I'm sure that as we go this month, there will be more clarity on how to live with eternity in view. And really, on the last day, we will not be ashamed. We'll not be ashamed. Because indeed, we will fulfill that which the Father has sent us. In the name of Jesus. And
And from this moment, there will be an awakening, an awakening, an awakening, an awakening, an awakening of living, living with eternity in view all the days of our lives. So I beg you, walk as a man, as a woman, that understand that you are on assignment. That understand that, you know, that the Father has given you something to deliver to your world. And the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. I hope you've been blessed today. Can you just bow your head and just speak to God? Put to death, you know, fleshly tendencies. I want you to bow your head and just begin to speak to God. You know what you are battling. You know what has not permitted you to put eternity in view. You know what has been stealing it from you every time you want to walk with the Father's plan. I want you to go ahead this morning and speak to God about it. Lord, help me. No man has the Lord for help and lacks it. You ask the Lord for help and it comes true. I want you to go before God this morning and cry out, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. This is my desire. This is your plan for me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You cannot ask God for help and it doesn't come true. The best thing you can offer yourself is to be real with God. You are in the presence of your Father. Say to him, Lord, it is sleep. It is just this too much sleep that wants to steal eternity for me. Lord, take it away. Lord, you know there are some of us that is our job. And it can just be so difficult to ask the Lord to take the job away. But you can tell the Lord to settle you. He can bring up a better, he can give you a better offer. He has made you a creative being. You know, he can bring that creativity alive that you are the one creating job for other people. I want you to go ahead this morning and speak to God about it. Lord God, help me. I ask for your help. Go ahead and ask the Lord for help this morning. Go ahead and ask the Lord for help. Lord, it is my speech. I don't even know how to talk. I need you to help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Don't let this thing, don't let it steal eternity from me. Help me. Go ahead and ask the Lord for help this morning. Father, we bless your name. Thank you for your word that has come to us this morning. We ask for the grace to live and live for you alone. And we receive in the name of Jesus. As we go through the journey of living with an eternity in view in this month of December, Lord, wake us up. Help us to put eternity before us. Help us to walk your journey in the name of Jesus. Glory to your name, Father. We worship and we adore you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Glory to God. I believe you.
Thank you for listening to us. We believe you have been blessed. For more messages and inquiry, check www.ngcc.church. God bless you.